You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. So in this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Shannon Schroeder, and we talk about why she started a blog recently and how it changed her life. Part of this conversation goes into Shannon's story of being a pretty happy person teaching English and raising a family to building an online business and a community as an executive function coach for women. So I did not know when I scheduled this interview that Shannon had been a teacher, but it worked out pretty well for me because I asked her for some help with some vocabulary and she rises to the challenge. We get into the realities of non-linear life paths, why self-care might look like a pretty solid TV binge. And there's also some honest talk about imposter syndrome. And we do a tip of the hat to Chicago's summer neighborhood festivals. It's fun. I think you're going to enjoy it. Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's do it. Shannon Schroeder, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am so excited to be here.
Yay, me too. All right. So I begin almost all of my interviews by asking people where they call home. Where are you today?
I am in the Chicago suburbs. Chicago, Illinois, USA.
Fantastic. It's a good place to be in the summer. A million years ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth, I was in Chicago over the summer and did Taste of Chicago with my friends.
Yes, Taste of Chicago.
Does it still exist?
It does exist. They brought it back. Like, it went away for a while and they brought it back. And for me, I can appreciate it. I prefer like the smaller neighborhood fest because Taste of Chicago is just like wall-to-wall people. And I don't like people that much. So.
Too much peopling. I can hear that. Okay, very good. In a second, we're going to get to the topic of the day. But before we do that, I want to get to know you a little bit better. I've learned that you don't love huge crushes of people. But what is something that you do to take care of yourself that somebody might consider self-care?
I don't know if everybody would consider it self-care, but I watch a lot of TV. Like, for me, that is like how I refill my creative well. I'm like an obscene amount of TV. But streaming services make it so easy. You know,
they do.
Commercial free, you can sit and binge. Yes, it's awesome. So like, they that's do. My wind down time.
I got to say, I don't like it when it's a pay for service, or for me, it's part of a pay for package because maybe I'm not directly paying for it. And they sneak in the ads. So like, what's doing that now? Like, I think Amazon, like some of the times on Amazon is feeding ads and I'm like, this is cheating, Amazon. This is not what I signed up for. The reason I pay you is to not have these ads. And I don't dislike ads. It's a media production. I'm pro ads. Ads can be very helpful, but I was recently like, that's not fair. All right. So topic of the day, not ads on streaming services. A few years ago, you started a blog and that led to new projects and shifts in your life. So we're going to talk about that. My first question is actually about choosing the word blog to have this conversation, because when I read it, I thought, wow, you know, there's pieces of me that think that that's a word from like the 90s, early 2000s. So what does the word blog mean to you? And why did you
choose? For me, truly, yes, you hear like blogging is dead, right? Because who does a blog? Nobody has a blog anymore, but you'd be surprised. And so for me, a blog is just a way to share information for free, really. And because it is a blog and it's just on the internet, it's not like people don't have to sign up to see me. You know, they could just Google and they're going to find that information. So it's widely available, free information. So for me, it started because my business coach is someone that I started like following a long time ago, like years before I started my blog. And in her free Facebook group, she was always like, that's her thing. Like, she teaches people how to blog. And I'm like, who's going to listen to me? I got nothing to say. but I liked her as a coach, you know, so I was watching how she was building businesses and other people were doing it. And yeah. And so that's how I ended up there, because that's kind of like how she teaches, you know, builds a business kind of thing. But yeah, for me, it was really listening to her for years and thinking like, I got nothing to say until I did.
All right, very good. We're gonna come back to that nothing to say for in a minute. But first, before we do that, I wanted to rewind a little bit, switch gears and rewind the time clock a little bit, because it's my impression from reading the information you gave when you filled out the form that this is either a change or a second act type thing, that there used to be something, there may have been, you have to tell me if I'm wrong, a reset or a restart. So my question is here is like, what if we go back in time, was there a different career or a season where you were doing something else before you started this?
So many.
A
I'm an
couple?
English, quite a few. I'm an English teacher by trade. Like that's what
Okay.
I went to college for. And so, I mean, I went to college to be an English teacher, and then I went back and got a master's in special ed, and then a master's in gifted ed. Like I'm a teacher through and through. Like that's who I am. But you know, I taught for years, had a baby, took a break, taught for a while, had another baby, took a break. So, you know, three babies, three breaks. By the time you get to the third one, it's like you don't make enough to pay for daycare for three kids.
All right. What
Live
level
at home.
teaching? What level of school were you teaching?
Middle school and high school.
Middle school and high school. Okay.
And so when I was home with my kids, I started doing other things. So I did start teaching like college level because that was, you know, a different kind of schedule. I started doing curriculum writing and editing, like lots of other different things that would allow me to work from home, be with my kids. Because for me, it was important to like be home for, you know, homework and dinner and running them to the gazillion places that they have to be. So I've done lots of different things like that. And as my kids got older and didn't need quite so much for me, I started thinking about, okay, well, I need more regular work. But I did not want to go back to the classroom. Like,
Okay.
not that I love teaching. If I could just walk into a classroom and teach, like I loved volunteering at my kids' school to teach because there's like no strings attached, right? I could go in and just do all the fun parts of teaching, which is the actual teaching part. There's no bureaucracy, right? I
Yeah.
don't have the patience for it. And I applied for a job for an executive function coach and honestly, didn't even know what it was. Like, applied, got an interview, and then before the interview, you know, looked at the company, like, what the heck are they doing? And I went into the interview and we did our conversation. And I'm like, this just sounds like life skills for students. And she's like, yeah, kind of. And she's like, do you have any experience? I'm like, I've got three kids and they're all neurodivergent. Yes, I've got experience, you know? So I was already doing it. I was doing the coaching thing without even knowing that that's what I was doing. And so for me, that's kind of like that was another one of those pieces where I still have a day job outside of my business, but it's still that kind of cobbled together bits and pieces of things. Like I still do some, you know, curriculum editing. I still do some coaching for high school and college clients. I have a smaller roster of clients because I'm spending more time on my business. But yeah, so for me, it was that call that like, oh, I do this. Yeah, I know how to do this. And then once I started doing it, I realized that it was such a natural fit for who I am and how I approach things that, yes, this. So my business is really, I don't know, third act, fourth, I don't
There you go. No,
know.
well, that's one of the stories that I love to tell, is because I think that still today, I think I have a wide range of kids in my family. The youngest will be 19. They still have this idea very much as a very linear path to life, that we're going to do this and go there, and this is what's going to happen. And my lived experience doesn't match that myself. And very few, there are people I meet, most of them doctors, where or engineers, where that is the path, right? And so you go to school, you get the job, and you stay in the job. And but there are so many more people who bob and weave, that the earlier we can sort of reassure people that it's okay if you have a non-linear path. So, and one of the things you touched on, which I definitely surprised me as a person, and may have you as well, is that for many, many people who start a family in a variety of ways, there is this realization that, oh wow, once you have all these little people at home, 9 to 5 doesn't fit. In fact, the actual realization, I can remember sitting at home and being like, wow, I totally understand why everybody quit at this point. All of my friends, I was like, there isn't actually a job that fits in the preschool schedule. How interesting that no one will pay me my salary to work from 9:45 to 12:30, 3 days a week, and never on any holidays or when anybody has the
Yep.
flu. Like, I was like, huh, go figure. What a shocker. So yeah, so it sounds like that is also a part of your realization, that when you have
Oh, without a
kids.
doubt. Because
Yeah.
had you had asked me, you know, at, you know, 25, 26, 27, before I had kids, I was always, yeah, I want to have kids, but I'm not going to quit teaching.
Right.
Of course not. And yeah, that just it, life changes. And you just
Life
never know how much
changes.
it's going to change.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I think that I will speak for humanity and say it's not always something you can know until you're in it, and it doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. So, all right. So back to the blog, right? So when you had a business coach, you shared that with us in the story, and what were your hopes, or what were your dreams, or what was the motivation for starting this?
So for me, it was really, I would say right around 2021, coming out of COVID, I think one of the things that I noticed during COVID with everybody on lockdown and TikTok exploding everywhere was that you had so much information being shared on like real, just everyday people sharing their experiences. And so as 2021, 2022 hit, I was seeing women that I knew, women my age, older, maybe a little younger. We're talking women 30s, 40s, 50s coming out and saying, I just got diagnosed with ADHD.
Yeah.
I just got diagnosed with autism, and part of it for me is that I'm seeing all of these women getting these later in life diagnoses. And that initial part of that relief that they feel like, wow, that explains so much. And then it's like, but then what?
Yeah.
Right. And that's when I realized that for me was the impetus to start the blog because I know that as women, especially as mothers, we always put ourselves last.
Yep.
And having worked for a company who does executive functioning, like I know what it costs. Like I always joked with my children. I'm like, man, you know how much you would have to pay for me to do this? You get it for free. But I knew that as I'm watching all of these women get the diagnoses, that once the relief kind of settles and they get past the anger of why the F didn't this happen, 30 years ago, that then what part? I know that if it was our kids, if our kids needed an executive function coach, we would do whatever we had to do to make it happen. We will go get a second job, a third job, whatever. And we're going to pay the hundreds of dollars per hour to make that happen. But we're not going to do it for ourselves. We just, you know what I'm saying? It's,
Yeah.
we prioritize ourselves last. And so for me, I'm like, I have the knowledge, I have the skills. I want to make this accessible. And that's where my blog came from.
Very interesting. So I too, as so I, there's been like a wave of people who, there was at a time it was like, wow, everybody I know is going through this. This is a really interesting thing. And actually, just a couple of days ago, we're recording this in May. It'll come out in July, but just a couple of days ago in May, an episode went live on the show of somebody who was like di basically diagnosed herself by watching TikTok for, and then went in and was like, "Somebody, please test me for that." And that's sort of the story. And one of the things that she talked about is she said, "This gets a bad rap. People are like, you shouldn't be self-diagnosing on TikTok." And I was like, "I listen, I'm the wrong person to give advice about this, but you're not the first person I've heard say it. So like, this is one of those situations where it's like, well, if it's working, if that's what's showing up, I think we have to give it, the credit that's due. Like, if that's the
Yes,
resource that you have."
and I think it matters so much, especially for women. Part of the reason why girls don't get diagnosed is that you look at the standards, you look at all the testing, it is all based on men, white men in general. So
Yeah.
the way ADHD and autism appears in girls and women is fundamentally different. Not always, but enough that yes, we have to think about it. So for women to be like, wait a minute, I'm watching all these TikToks and they're hitting my feed. And they're like, oh, really? That does sound like, wait, what? You know?
Right.
And so it makes them kind of reflect and reevaluate how they view themselves, thinking like, oh, maybe there is a reason for this.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's not the topic of this podcast, but it does every once in a while send me into a mental rage when we go onto the topic of medicine for women that has never like actually been researched or tested on women. It's just it's like really there are times where I will learn things and I'm like, that is so dumb. Like honestly, Like really, this is a disconnect between, that, okay. And yeah, no, it's a crazy thing. It's a crazy thing. It's like, oh, really? I think we should probably revise that. So hopefully they would, but not queen for the day. I don't get to decide. So you mentioned that when you started this, you went through a period, or your self-talk was in there saying that you didn't know what you were going to say. And I'm fascinated by this as a person who talks all day long to people and writes all day long, because this is not my particular block or flavor of obstacle. But tell me more about being unsure about this. And so, and if you were unsure, why did you choose blogging?
So for me, like being an English teacher, I am a writer. I mean, one of my other jobs is like I'm also an author. Those are my books back there.
Those are your books back there? Okay,
Yes.
all right.
So like I'm confident in my ability to write. But for me, hearing, someone say, "Oh, well, if you want to have a business, start with a blog and you build from there." And I'm like, "What am I going to say?" Right? I'm not going to talk about being a writer. Like that's boring, And so for me, that doubt came from not knowing like what I would write about. Once I started looking at these women getting the diagnoses, and then I was like, once I knew who I was writing for, then I knew what to write about.
Okay,
Like, if that
so.
makes sense. Like for me, it was like, I'm not gonna, open up a document and start a blog and what am I gonna write about? I had no clue like what I could possibly have as a business. But once I made that connection of I know who my audience is. Like, I know who I'm writing for. Then the writing piece became so much easier.
So
Then it
this sounds
became
like it
like,
was a little bit of a short-lived experience.
short-lived in that, like, I would say, like, I was following in this Facebook group thinking about, like, what kind of business could I have? Like, I knew that I wanted to diversify, like, my life, not having to rely on a paycheck from someone else. So I knew I
Okay.
wanted something. But yeah, that piece of I don't know what kind of business could I possibly have? What am I gonna what could I write a blog? Like that probably went on for 2 years maybe. I was in
Okay.
her group for a good 2 years at least. And I dabbled in other things like Etsy shops and print on demand and lots of different kinds of things that while fun and like I guess fed the creative side of me, like they're fun things to do. It wasn't something that I'm like, this is it, this is my business. So I dabbled in a lot of like smaller things the whole time hearing Sadie say, start a blog, start a blog. And I'm like, I have nothing to say. Who am I talking to? But that's really when it clicked, is that alignment of seeing all of these women getting the diagnoses and me realizing I know what they need.
So this process then began. You had a desire to start a business or to investigate starting a business, and so that put you in a community where people were presenting a model, and you were then brainstorming what could I do and what would work for me. Yeah, no, I've been through that. I've been through that. I once hired a coach, and they gave me a worksheet, which it sounds like it's very similar to, go find a bunch of people, ask them what they think you're good at, what are you list your own strengths, like what do people, all those things. Several funny stories about this. One is I had a massive chip on my shoulder at one point. I was like, I've done this, I don't want to, whatever. But I was like, but I've paid all this person all this money, I will go ahead and do it. I literally had it printed out on my desk and was like filling it out. The other is I went to my husband this is many, many years ago, and I was like, all right, so tell me the things that you think I'm good at. And he looked right at me and he was like, we're not having this conversation. This conversation is not good for our marriage. This is a very, very bad idea. Like, go ask anybody else. Like, drive through Amy. And I was like, all right. So, but yeah, so that's it sounds like this was a version of that. All right. So, and then would you say at all, it doesn't sound like when I was thinking about this question, I was thinking that some of this could fall under what sometimes is called imposter syndrome.
I do. I talk quite a bit about imposter syndrome, to my audience because I think that women in general, but women who are neurodivergent, astronomically suffer from imposter syndrome. And yes, I d firmly put myself in that category. And the way I describe it, when people talk about, well, everybody has doubts and everybody's I'm like, no, here's imposter syndrome. Like for me personally, I'm someone who always did really well in school. I own it now. Like I am a very intelligent person, right? I know this. It's not bragging. It's fact. I am. Am I a genius? I've never had an IQ test. I don't know. I don't think so, but who knows? But I went to, I grew up in the city of Chicago. I spent my life in Catholic school because back then, Chicago public schools, not so great. Better now, but my mother was like, no, going to Catholic school. So I went to a Catholic school. I was one of those quiet, smart kids. I was in the top, the bluebirds or the yellow group or whatever the heck the highest reading groups were, right? I was always in the back of the room because they didn't have to worry about me, things like that. But my eighth grade graduating class was like 60 kids. It was a small school, right? So getting ready for high school, I panicked because, oh my gosh, they want to put me in honors classes. What if I don't think I can do it. What if they put me in these classes and they realize that I'm dumb. And it was just, this school was really easy. Newsflash, it wasn't. It wasn't too hard. I breezed through high school. But then the same thing happened. I'm going to college. I had a full ride academic scholarship for college. And I still walked into college going, man, I have to maintain a 3.5 GPA or I'm going to lose this money. Oh my gosh, someone's going to realize that I'm not that smart. School was just easy for me. It took until I was on my second master's degree, second master's degree. So we're talking, I don't know, 15, 16 years of school. Like I'm way down the line, right?
Wait, probably more so if you say 12, 13 years for through high school, 4 years for undergrad, three, so that's 16.
I did both of my, I did my master's degrees in about a year and a half each.
So then another, yeah, so yeah, 16 plus
Right.
years.
So it was, I was on my
You
second
like
one.
school.
Right. I did. I like to learn and you do what you're good at. But for me, it really was like getting to that point where even going into graduate school, I'm like, oh, they're going to figure it out now. Because people have to like, this is like serious school, you have to like master's projects and like, although I didn't have to like defend a dissertation, I didn't do PhD level stuff. It was always that, but they're going to find out I'm really not that smart. And no, like I am, and I am good at school. And you can present me with things that I don't know, and I'm going to learn it and I'm going to figure it out. That's what imposter syndrome is not having some doubt. Everybody has moments of doubt, but it's that feeling of, oh my gosh. They're going to look around and they're going to realize that I am a total poser and I don't belong here. That is imposter syndrome. So, absolutely, starting a business, did I feel that again? Yes. Like the idea of, can I do this? Again, once I figured out who my audience was, because I know I'm a good teacher. There's a lot of things I'm not good at. I'm not good at everything I do. I know I'm a good teacher. I know I'm a good executive function coach because I've worked with clients where they, struggled. They failed out of a year or two of college, and I was able to work with them to get them to the point where they were graduating. So I know it's not that I'm taking ownership. Obviously, they did the work, but I know that I played a role in that. So I know I'm good at what I do. So once I found, again, it was that perfect intersection of knowing what my purpose was that made it made sense. And I was like, I can do
Very
this.
cool. All right, so let's back up. I'm going to ask you some. We're going to talk a little bit about vocabulary. So I'm going to ask you about two things. So I have been a part of raising four kids, a couple of which were walking and talking examples of an incompletely developed frontal lobe. So I'm pretty confident about what executive function is. But give us how you would describe what executive function is for the people who are listening. What do we mean when we talk about that?
So the academic sciencey way of looking at executive function, it's like your brain's control center, right? It's the part of your brain that helps you organize and manage your time and start tasks even when you don't want to. You organize your space, you know where things are, you can remember what you're supposed to be doing. The everyday way of I talking about it, it's your adulting skills. The things that you're expected to do as an adult. You're expected to be where you're supposed to be on time. You're expected to be able to keep track of things like doctor's appointments and interviews and things like that. You're expected to know how to organize your household to get laundry done and have food on the table.
All right. Those are both really, really good explanations. Okay, and so then To the other word, I'd love to have you explain a little bit and give your opinion. And obviously, tell me to buzz off if I'm asking you to share things that you don't want to share. But how do you? I feel like the word neurodivergent, like, came out of the ether within my lifetime. I do not know that I had heard this word as a child. Maybe it was there and I just didn't hear it. But
No,
share
I
with.
think absolutely
Okay, I can see it. So tell us a little bit about how you would define what that means. Like, what is included in that, and what are we, when we say neurodivergent, when a person says neurodivergent, what are we talking about?
So when I say neurodivergent, that's kind of like a catch-all big umbrella term for anyone whose brain is wired differently. So, and I don't want to say like not normal. But
Right.
typically, that's the way most people are going to explain it. So, someone who is a typical child is what we would call neurotypical. If you have ADHD, if you are on the spectrum for autism, if you suffer from anxiety, depression, any other mental health issue, your brain is neurodivergent. It doesn't
Oh, I
function the
actually didn't
same
know that we
way
concluded those.
other people.
Okay.
Does everybody include all? Probably not. I do because I'm sorry. If you are someone who struggles with depression all of the time, your brain is not functioning the same. Someone can look at you all day long and say, well, just get up and do it.
Right.
And you
Yeah.
can't. If you have ADHD, someone you can't say, just get up and do it. It's not the way it works.
Yeah, no, one of the things when many of my acquaintances and friends were being diagnosed with adult ADHD, one of the things I noticed is I was like, you know what? Actually, a lot of these symptoms parallel other things. Like, for example, if you have PTSD, a lot of those symptoms are very similar to how ADHD shows up. And I was like, but I am not a doctor, but I think that therapy and the treatment of those two things is probably wildly different. I'm just wildly different. And they're one of my favorite things. I love TikTok and I love the little videos, but I do love when people are like, if you do this and you have ADHD, and I'm like, I do that all the time. I don't know. Like, maybe. So, but it is, I think it's very easy. And I'm not, when I make that joke, I want to make very clear that I'm not saying that it's not real or anything. I'm pointing the humor at, like, oh, do I have that? Is that what's going on for me? Or is it not?
And I agree. Like, that's one of those things where, like, those kinds of videos, that's where a lot of women started going, oh, but it's not the random one, right? It's not like, oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I like take a corner too sharp every single time and bang. I know the counter's there and I bang into it every single time. I have random bruises everywhere, right? Lots of people will do that, but it's that. And then when you watch the next one and the next one and the
Yeah,
next
no,
one,
absolutely.
and it compounds. And the problem is that a lot of people will watch that one video and say, well, isn't everyone a little ADHD? No, babe. No, they're not.
So, and that could be a thing that I thought that I don't think I would say it out loud. That could be a thought that popped into my head. But yeah, it's the bumping into the counter, which I think probably, of course, we all do every once in a while. I am a very free form writer on social media, and one time I saw something that was like, if you put an ellipse in every single sentence, or like, and I was like, I do. I don't know. And I was like, but it's just because I'm too lazy to sit down and write this in the correct way. It's like how I avoid being criticized of a never-ending run-on sentence. Okay, so you launched this in 2022, which you pointed out is pretty close after a lockdown, and maybe still there was a definitive boom in online business related to the fact that everybody's at home working online. So did you experience, once you figured out who you were talking to, and you began to write, did you experience rapid growth? Did you grow an audience very quickly?
No, I am actually very much a slow and steady kind of person. I didn't like try to grow too big because for me, I knew that would be overwhelming. Like I would not like I'm not on TikTok, like, but something like that, like, oh, well, if I was there and I, got viral, like that would be overwhelming for me.
Okay.
So for me, it's very much like I started my blog and I, it was head down, just write the blog post to build that up so that I had a body of work. And then from there, then I want to say I was probably about 9 months in. And then I created my Facebook group.
Okay.
And again, it was slow and steady. Like, I had very few people in there. Like for the first 8 or 9 months, I had fewer than 300 people in there. But then once you gain some traction and people start talking, then Facebook starts recommending. So like that Facebook group is at almost 7,000 people now, 2 years later. But it was like, for me, it was very intentional, like that kind of slow and steady. Like I just kept adding pieces as I go. So it's like, it was the Facebook group. I started creating courses, lots of
You have
freebies
a
and
perfect skill set for creating courses with all the
I do.
education. That is a natural,
I
that
do.
is
And it's
really
one of
good.
those things that gets me in trouble though, because sometimes I'm like, oh, but I can create this course, this course, and this course. And then I'm like, okay, no, I'm supposed to be doing other things too. Because I like the curriculum, piece. I love to create courses. So yeah, so I have just done like piece by piece where I've added things in. So no, it hasn't been a rapid, explosive kind of thing. It's been a slow build for the, 2.5, 3 years that I've been at it.
That is really exciting. Okay, so many, many years ago, you were an English teacher, and you were doing those kind of things. Now you've taken this, that you were working, and I think you still are working as an executive function coach. Now you have this blog. How has your life shifted and changed since you started the blog? What impact did it have?
For me, I think it definitely feeds that teacher part of me that I've been missing. Because although, the other jobs I've had, like I said, I like to write curriculum. I don't mind editing it for companies and things like that. But I do like I miss that, like having those light bulb moments with people. And that's part of why I continue to keep my executive function clients, because I like that. It feeds that teacher part of me. And so for me, building my company and working with women and having my membership where I get to meet with them and talk with them, and they're like, okay, but I got to do this and I don't know how to do this. And then we kind of talk through it and come up with a plan. And it's like, it's that light bulb moment, no different than when you're working in a classroom and the kids are like, oh, now I get it. It's, you that is one of those things that I love. So for me, where the hurdle of starting a blog and like you're just kind of like putting things out there in the ether, right? Hoping people
Right.
will stumble upon it.
Here it is. Come find me through the magic of the internet.
Right. So it's like once you do that, and it's like, but then you find like, occasionally, like I'll get an email like, hey, I just found you and I fell down the rabbit hole of all of your blog posts and I've spent like all night reading it. Oh my gosh, it makes so much sense. You get those kinds of things and you're like, I made the right move.
All right. That's a wonderful answer. All right. So, what kind of support have you had? So you've got three kids. I don't know how old the kids are, but
They're all adults. My youngest at this point is a sophomore in college.
okay, so the kids are adults. What kind of support did you have? You have a business coach and you're part of a coaching community, it sounds like. What kind of supports did you have around you as you started this project and this activity? Because it is online business, podcasting would fall into this. You're in a little bit of a bubble where you come up with an idea. You put it out in the world and there's a window of time where you're like, don't know what anybody is. That like, hello, is anybody hear me? Yeah.
Yes. For me, it was absolutely that coaching community. Sadie Smiley, like for me, it's like when I started my blog, it was like I followed her path because she had like a free course, like how to set up the blog and everything, right? And I just told myself, like, I will join like her true coaching program, like her VIP group, if I can stick with this and I can get 50 blog posts up. Like if I could follow this and do it, then I will join. Like I will put my money where my mouth is and say this is worth doing. And I started in July, and by November, I was like, I'm ready to join. So I joined her group. And the beauty of that group is not about how to write the blog or, how to create a course or thing. Like, yes, you can learn that stuff. It's the community itself. It's like you are with these other people who are all doing the same thing, like different businesses, obviously. But like when you get stuck, when you're feeling like I am like yelling out into nowhere, like they get it,
Yeah.
So it's about like having people who really understand it, that makes a world of difference.
Very, very nice. All right, so in a minute we're going to do the final questions, the final rapid fire questions, but we've talked a lot about like what you're doing sort of and we've talked about executive function and so on. I want to give you a chance to tell people specifically what you do and how they can connect with you after the show.
Okay, well, my blog is free and it is fbombcoach.com and it's EF, like for executive functioning.
Oh, that's what that spells. Okay, because that's also, I sent you an
Yes,
email and I was like, I do not know what this is. Okay.
It's F bomb coach and play on words, EF for executive function, but also because the, and I try to clean it up because sometimes, you know, like Google doesn't like swear words,
Yeah.
but I do typically. Like I swear all the time when I talk. I'm good. I'm in teacher mode right now, so I haven't today. Come close a few times. But I have not. So that's where it comes from. So it's fbombcoach.com. If you are a woman looking for more support, I do have my free Facebook group, which is executive function support for women. If you're a dude, sorry, I'm not gonna let you in. Not
It's okay.
that I hate men, but it's a safe space for women. And then from my website, from my blog, you can see all the courses that I have. And then if you are again a woman, I have a membership, and it is a low ticket membership that gives you access to every course that I create for as long as you're in the membership. So anything new that I drop, you get access to. I have a couple of times a month, I drop in additional resources, spreadsheets, printables, things like that. And we do two group coaching calls a month where you get access to me.
That is
Again,
great.
if you're a dude, you can buy the courses individually, but you don't get coaching calls.
Very good. So yeah, so your resources are specific to women who are going through this, and so people who, so there's so you have a that is very good. I'm glad that you took the time to explain the F-bomb, which I copied and pasted, but I was like, I do not know what that is. And it is true. I wonder about this all the time. I talked to somebody earlier today and we were talking about it. There are many screens these days that are looking for inappropriate language. And so you can try and be charming and adulty with sentence enhancers, but you might get tagged by the various gremlins. And so people inadvertently have watched people get in trouble with that, especially a lot of people. There was a phase a while ago where people were doing all the things with AF in them, and eventually the tech things, the little goblins, figured that out and began to say, "We know what you're thinking.
We know
Your
what the
saucy
intent
thoughts."
is.
You have a very special offer for the audience of the show, which is a productivity blueprint course. And normally it is $27, but you've given us a link where people can get that for free. So that is in the show notes. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll find it in the description down below. And the easiest way to get that link, you guys, is to be a subscriber to the Imperfect Adulting email community, because then I zap it straight into your email box and you can just click on it. It's perfect for busy people. People are listening to this on the walk, on the road, on the train, all those things. So I want to thank you very much, Shannon, for that generous offer. Are you ready for the rapid fire questions?
As ready as I'm gonna get.
I know sometimes people get nervous about this, but they're just for fun. Okay, so if you won a huge lottery, like Powerball, do you have Powerball in Illinois?
Yes.
Okay, so like enormous, like $50 million, right? What is the first thing that you would buy for yourself, not for anybody else?
You mean like other than like paying off my house kind of thing?
So pay off your house, but then yeah, something else. You can bet, yeah. So something else, something you'll
Okay,
buy
so
for.
something just for me. I would buy myself a new laptop because I love my laptop, but she's old. She's a
Okay,
Mac,
you
so
would
she lasts
have
a long time, but she's old.
exactly. You're that's some good old fashioned Midwestern pragmatism right there. Pay off the mortgage and buy and replace. I give you $50 million of imaginary money, and you replace a laptop. That is hilarious. That is absolutely. I love that answer. Thank you very much. Okay, so do you have a favorite color? And if so, what is it?
I would say probably purple, only because I look good in purple because I have green eyes.
Very nice. All right, very, very good. I love it. Purple. Okay, so today in 2025, if you, Shannon, have a question, something you want to do, what is the first way that you try to find information or answers? Like what's your personal process? Do you go for a Google search? Do you look for a book? Are you turning on the TV to look at news? Are you on YouTube or another app? Do you call a friend? What's the way that you try and figure stuff out?
I guess it depends on what it is. If it's something that I know someone has the knowledge, I'm going to call a friend. But if it's something that I'm like, I don't know anybody who knows this, Google is my friend. I mean,
Okay.
you can't see my sign back there.
What
But
does
I
it
do
say?
have a sign. It says, "Do I look like Google?" Because I am. I've always been like people in when I had to work in the office, they would like come to my desk. Do you know? I'm like, I'm not Google, man. Just Google is your friend. So
Exactly. Yes.
Google is
I will
my
say that
friend.
to sometimes. I will say that I'm like, would you like me to Google it for you? Like,
Right?
I can do that.
Exactly. That's how I'd find the answer. You could do this yourself.
Very good. All right. That's it. Shannon Schroeder, thank you for being an amazing guest today on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yay. Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obviously, again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.